Hey, do you sometimes feel bad about yourself and you just don't know what to do? You just plain feel bad? Well, catch the More Faith, More Life podcast. I'm going to give you the cure.
You were made for more than the status quo. I'm Pastor Steve Gray, and this is the More Faith, More Life podcast. This podcast is for Christians with an ambitious heart who want to be more for their family, do more with their career, and see more of God's promises in their life. I've spent many years as a worship artist, minister, nonprofit leader, bold truth speaker, and most importantly, father and spouse. When I was in my early 40s, I was craving more from God and more from life. I'd done everything I was supposed to do. My life was good, but it wasn't good enough. So I spent the following years diving into the Word of God and searching for the biblical principles that would bring me closer to God and help my purpose and life flourish. That's what I want to share with you. In every episode, you'll get practical tools based on real life experiences that you can put into action to redefine your faith and ultimately your life. So, if you're ready to do more, subscribe to More Faith, More Life, and hear an unfiltered biblical truth every week. It's time to be and experience more.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another More Faith, More Life podcast. I'm Steve Gray, and of course, I'm here with Kathy again as we've been doing these podcasts together and enjoying talking to you and sharing great things with you. What a time, Kathy, to be alive in our country and to see history being made. Whether you agree with what's happening or not is not as important to realize that you're alive during a history-making time. People will talk about what's going on in the world now and the next season. For a long, long time. It'll be in the history books and it'll be, talked about by our grandchildren. I have to study, well, great-grandchildren, because they're our grandchildren
right.
Are living it too.
They are.
And explain what happened in history and what we're going forward in now.
I think we're in the history makers opportunity time. Mm-hmm. I think that's, the people of God should take the opportunity now to grab a hold of what's supposed to be happening. And I'm kind of wondering your viewpoint now. We've won the election and things are shifting and tumbling and rearranging, but where do you see the role of the church then in all of this?
Well, I'd see, first of all, the role, I'd like to just mention as history, some people are history makers.
Yes.
But here's what most people miss, I think, is there's also those that history makes them. It's the other way around.
Okay.
And people miss that because you can be a history maker, but you might not ever be known because it wasn't the season of something going on. On the other hand, that's why we're alive during history being made.
Right.
It could be that in your own personality or your own person, you don't feel like you're a history maker. You just sort of go along with the crowd or whatever. Mm-hmm. But realize history also makes heroes. Sometimes they're not heroes. They're heroes because history made them heroes. They lived during a time of history. So, for instance, I probably would not know the name of Winston Churchill if there had not been a world war, or Eisenhower. General who was President Eisenhower on our side. Names that I knew because both our parents or our dads were in World War II names. But I would never know who Winston Churchill was, the great guy who actually saved Europe, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If our super spiritual people don't mind me saying that I'm not saying he's a messiah, but we have people who are savior types that help. In the Bible, Joseph was a savior type who saved his brothers in famine. Types of Christ, types of saviors. And anyway, but the war came, and now who he was needed. And so he made history, but history really made him. We would have never known. Now, that's the reason I say that is we're living in a time where both is happening. We have history makers who would make impact no matter what they did, but we might not know their names. But now we're going into a time where history is going to make people great because it's calling for greatness. Mm-hmm. And people who 20 years ago were just maybe thinking I'll never amount to anything or, I'll just live my life out could be made by history if you step into what's happening and get involved. That's why the Bible teaches us, Kathy, that we need to be doers of the word, because history is being made during our lifetime. I would think like the 12 disciples that followed Jesus around, the men, of course, there were much more than 12. We just know the history makers, you know, the ones who made history, because Peter would have been just a fisherman forever if Jesus hadn't come at that particular time. We would not know who he is, but it could be somebody like Peter alive right now that's in the wings. And if they'll start doing at the same time that history is being made, you can be a history maker, but someone who would never be known, history could make you if you step into the role of what's needed
to
be
said.
It's
so marvelous. Yeah. Just like Queen Esther also.
Yeah.
Don't you know you were brought into the kingdom for such a time as this, and she could have missed her history-making time.
Yeah, she could have rejected it for one thing and not done it.
Right.
But also, we'd never know who she was if she wasn't, for such a time as this, been alive in the king's court at that time. So I just I wanted to, just before we get into anything else, just encourage people to realize you could be a history maker, but if you're just used to being that nominal, fit in, go through the motions Christian, and yet you're and you really, what you look forward to is just doing nothing or relaxing, you know, or whatever, you probably won't be. But there are people that are feeling a destiny, like.
I know you are. I see it right now. I feel that anointing, Steve. Yes, and you're walking into it, and you're prepared.
And it's not just me.
No.
You and others that feel a destiny
all
their lives.
All our lives.
And without giving up, be on your spot when that spot appears necessary. And right now, I feel I have a message that 20 years ago, I had a message. And we talked about revival, and we were able to have the Cornfield revival, the Smithton Outpouring revival, the Kansas City revival. People came from all over the world, you know.
Yes.
And the wonderful story, I just got done with an interview talking about, and I watched the face of the person interviewing when I told them we did 5 services a week for 3.5 years. And, you know, and people came from all over the world. And busloads of people would come from Singapore or whatever. They'd fly in and get on a bus and come to it. And, like, she didn't know that. And it's amazing. Well, that was history, and it's being written again in history, because it's so amazing what happened there in that revival out in the country of nowhere, in the middle of nowhere. But so you'd think, well, that was it. But I feel like the message is prepared. That has prepared me to say what I want to say today, and keep saying.
Definitely.
And so now back to that, what's happening in the church and what's happening in the world today. The church is needed more than ever, but not the church we have. You see, the problem we have now is that we have to add the spiritual to the political. We have to.
Yes.
The political will help, but imagine, let's go back to World War II again. I don't know if that's too late in the history for some people who might have some younger listeners, younger than us. But anyway, okay. So World War II changed the world, but, you know, it could have been preventable. What would have happened if the leaders of the Axis powers, which, if you don't know, that's the bad guys, we, you know, the Nazis and all that and others, what would have happened if Hitler had been hit by the power of God? What if he had shown up at some church there in Germany, Munich or whatever, that was having a great move of God in 1930? Could they have had a great move of God in 1930? You bet they could have. They could have.
Yes.
But they didn't. Yes. And God was warning people then.
Yes.
Just like Jesus warned Jewish people of 40 years before it happened, that what they needed to do when it would happen. When Rome would come to destroy Jerusalem, he said, don't go down and get your stuff. Don't go up on the roof to watch and see what's going on. Get out of town, head to the mountains, and go there until it's over, and then you can come back. And so he's warning them about this 40 years in advance. And I believe people were getting warned about certain situations and certain people that and they could have made it. But again, they weren't thinking in terms of being a history maker, like I, you know, and history making them. And so they didn't do anything. But my thoughts are World War II could have been prevented. Let's go back, really. World War II is an extension of World War I, really. They just were 20 years apart. But anyway, that was preventable. right? It can prevent it because people who wanted to make war and cause the Holocaust could have been changed by the Spirit of God. But it's only the Spirit of God. You cannot legislate the heart. You can legislate actions and say, if you do that, you'll be arrested. So I'm not going to do it. Not because my heart wouldn't say do it, not because I don't want to do it. You know, some person walks by a jewelry store and sees that big ring. Well, if there was no glass and no barriers and that, and nobody was looking, you know, somebody might just reach out and grab that ring, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's what they want. But then there you can't. Maybe there's a guard there. You go, well, I could reach out and grab it, but I'll get caught. So I'm not going to do that. Okay, so things, history is moldable as we go along, and we can't change the heart by saying, if you steal that ring, you're going to get arrested. Okay, but I won't steal it. I sure like to have it. I sure like to have it for free.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it didn't change the heart. It changed mm-hmm. the actions. And so legally, laws can change. Politicians can change laws. Governments can change. And all of a sudden, now it's the law of the land. You know, recently we've had the Gulf of Mexico. It's now the Gulf of America. Well, I like it. I think it's fun. And it is, you know, it's North America. But that doesn't change my heart.
Right.
Like, all of a sudden now I like the Gulf a whole lot better. You know, now that it says America, now I want to go there or anything. It didn't change my heart, right?
No.
So,
right.
Politicians are now doing a lot of things. Whether people agree with them or not, things are changing, right?
Yes, definitely.
Now, the church is now supposed to step in times of change and bring spiritual change along with political change,
yes.
along with the land change. Maybe we'll end up, Greenland will be a... Greenland, the 51st.
How many states?
How many states do we have?
I don't know.
Well, when we were kids, though, people think that sounds impossible. But when we were kids, there were only 48 states, and our flag in grade school had 48.
Yeah.
And then we had right away. Then all of a sudden, we had to add two more. That's why we were
exactly.
in grade school.
Yeah. I know. I kind of remember
kind
that
of.
Happening.
Yeah, you had to go from
then
how many states are there, and you put 48 and your
new flag to color in.
And you had to get a new flag.
Yeah.
And so, and we got Hawaiian Islands. Why do you, we're off the subject, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Why did we get the Hawaiian Islands? I've never asked you that question, so maybe you don't know. Why did we get Alaska? Because we
for
needed.
For protection.
Yeah.
From our enemies.
It was.
Encroaching upon us.
Yes, it was. For protection and protection. For safety.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we've got a base out in the middle of the ocean
where
all the other nations are over there in the continent.
Right.
And then we got Alaska, which if you can almost walk to the Soviet Union if you don't mind getting in a little water.
Walk
that's
on the
how
water
that's
almost.
How close they are.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
So now for our own protection and safety and security, we think maybe we ought to annex Greenland.
Yeah.
Well, we go, like, why do we need Greenland? Well, it's got lots of minerals and things that would bless, and they would be blessed.
Yeah.
But it's really now, it's the
it's
same
position.
Thing. Yeah, it's a position.
Yeah.
And once you understand that.
I just want everyone watching right now to understand, I do know there's 50 states.
Yeah.
I actually said, I don't know. I don't know what happened to me, but I do know there's only 50 states, so don't start talking about that.
Yeah. And so the right now in this time of history, the church is to step in and make its history. It's a time of transition. It's a time of change.
Mm-hmm.
The wind is blowing a different direction than it was 2 years ago in our country or a year ago in our country. It's prime to open up because we're opening up, saying maybe we could consider balancing the budget. Maybe we could get rid of that. Maybe we could change this. And now the church needs to do the same thing because the church should not be, and this is where I wanted to say, the church should not be the place where everybody is concerned about your feelings.
Oh my.
You know, so what we do, what millions and millions and millions of people do is they go to church on Sunday to feel better. They want to feel better about their lives, and it makes them feel better, and that's good. But God is not the God who changes our feelings. He's the guy that changes our spirit.
Yes.
You know, we get born again with a new spirit or a new heart, and that's why we need revival. A lot of people don't understand today. They're calling things that God is doing today. They're calling it revival, but you and I know it's really an awakening. If it's people. Somebody rose and said, yeah, people are being saved and baptized.
Yeah.
That's an awakening.
Yes.
Revival is those that are have fallen into nominalism.
Nominal Christianity.
And lukewarm, go to church, haven't seen much God activity, trying to be loyal, trying to hang in there, and trying to be a good person. Mm-hmm. But we don't have to do it by self-effort. There's nothing about self-effort in the Bible. There's being strong in the Lord. And so the church is prime, should be primed to say, we need to have the spiritual, presented in a package that's as powerful as the government is presenting legislation to the people.
Yes.
But we don't have it because the church now is built on feelings. We're going to make you feel better. Mm-hmm. And so come and we'll explain to you this and we'll make you feel better till we see you again. But the goal is that we don't want to make you feel better about a bad situation, right?
Right.
You don't want to feel good about a bad situation. Now, obviously, if you're overrun and overwhelmed by a bad situation, that's not good either. As a Christian, you need to have a little faith. You need to do some prayer. But to cause you to not change anything because you've been made, you were ready for change. Oh, but now I feel better. Maybe it's not so bad. And so, we'll stay off the subject, but it's still on because I just flowing with this.
Okay.
How about this, Kathy? In the Bible, Jesus, after all the things he said, tells them that you can't be my disciple if you don't hate your mother, your father, your brother. And that goes against, I can imagine the Jews of that day looking like, what is he talking about? From the beginning of time, God has told us to love honor your father and your mother and love each other. Love, 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 right? And now you're telling us if you don't hate them. And so without understanding what's going on, in other words, we lift that out and put it into our circumstance and say, well, I'm not going to hate my brother, right? But that's not what he's saying. No. Put yourself in context to what it was. There's danger coming, all right? Okay. Danger is coming to Jerusalem. Danger is coming to Israel. Mm-hmm. And a million people are going to be killed. And that's not even the injured, just the killed, a million. And out of this when Rome comes, all right? Yes. So danger is coming. And what God is saying is, here's what I need you to do. I don't want you to hate the people, but you have surrounded yourself with people that tell you, just keep going. Just keep going. Everything's okay. Just keep going. We don't need to do anything. We'll keep going to synagogue. We'll try to be good Jews, mm-hmm. and we'll just keep going. God loves us, and God's our God. And so that's what he was saying. Here Jesus is saying, I want you to be my disciple. We're going to change everything, right? We're going to change the way we think. We're going to change the way we pray. We're going to change the way we love. We're going to change everything and become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Then they go home, and everyone says, what are you doing? What? Everything's fine. We don't need to make any changes. I love you. You love me. We got a great family. You got a job. What's the big deal? So the reason he says, you're not hating the people, but you hate the message. Is what God is trying to make you a disciple. You're surrounded by people that say, just keep going the way things are. Mm-hmm. Just keep it the way it is. Everything's fine. Now does it make sense?
Yes.
So you're not going to hate the people, but it's the message that's going to kill you. Their message, do anything different, is going to kill you. Okay?
Yeah.
So now we are in this situation where the church needs to step in and be that voice where people are going to church to meet God, to be changed, to be transformed, and become spiritual people, right? Not carnal people who feel better about their carnality or less carnal, right? Cleaner. We're cleaner. It's not that we're not selfish people. We're just cleaner selfish people. We're just better at it. What Christians do is they use more wisdom in their selfishness, or they use more wisdom in their carnality, right?
Yes.
So that's not being spiritual. Mm-mm. There's a difference.
Yeah.
Cleaner carnality is not spiritual. But anyway, so now we are at a time in history when our government is doing certain things that could I think it's going to be great for our country. That's me personally, whether you agree or not. I like courage. I like change. I'm a challenging person. I like to go forward.
I told you the other night, I said, you're like President Trump, actually, in the way that you see the big picture. You're bold, you're courageous, you're strong, you have wisdom, and you have grace, and you're not afraid. I yep. said, well, maybe I should have said it this way. President Trump is like Steve yeah. Gray, really.
Yeah, well, I like to. Another thing I like is, we're going to do it, and we're going to do it fast.
Yes.
That's me, right? I'm
always
exactly. snapping. And sometimes I don't yeah. get to do things fast, but in my brain, mm-hmm. since you live with me, yeah. I'm fast inside.
Yes, right? You are. So, I'm running fast and hard after you.
And so we are experiencing what I would call a political revival or a conservative renaissance, a conservative revival.
Yes.
The majority are uh-huh. speaking up that we didn't know were there.
Yes.
Who's saying, I want to be the parent. I don't want the government or the school system raising my kids. Okay? So that's a revival of these values.
Yes.
Right? So those
yeah.
are going on.
Right.
But the church is not moving in revival in any, and obviously there's some great ones out there, but we're talking mm-hmm. about just masses of churches, you know,
right.
all everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's not moving because mm-hmm. we are locked into realizing I'm popular, I make more money, I am the love of the neighborhood because I am ministering to their feelings. And as though God is concerned about how we feel, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll just be honest in front of everybody. I have never, in all my time of being walking with the Lord all these many, many years, ever have him address my feelings.
No.
I've addressed him and said, like I said, God, I'm really getting discouraged about this. You know how I feel? And he goes, no, not really. Never been discouraged. I'm afraid. You know, this is a fearful thing. I'm kind of nervous. You know what I mean? And he goes, not really. I've never really been nervous. You know?
Yeah.
Sounds a little silly, but that's the truth,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah.
We're trying to meet God. We're trying to get God to be who we want him to be, because this is how I feel. And I want you to, and so what's happened is the church has developed the wrong cure because they have the wrong diagnosis. And the cure is that we walk away, generally speaking, I'm talking about masses of
right.
churches, of course,
yes.
that the system
right.
that's influencing other churches. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of churches do a lot of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They may have some differences, and you might like this pastor better than that pastor. They have a better building than that building, but they're basically still on the same spiritual level. Mm-hmm. I can go to that church over there, and it says it's this denomination, or this church over here, and it says that denomination,
mm-hmm.
okay? Generally, though, they may do some things different. One might wear a hat, and the other might wear a robe, and the other wears a suit or whatever, and that. But basically, all those churches are going to be on the same spiritual level. They're living their lives quietly. They don't make a mess. They try to be a good person, try to love one another. That's it, right? And church is to be the place now where we have revival,
yes.
is we revive the spiritual things
yes.
that need to happen.
Mm.
And so what we have now is with this feelings thing is it's working. And so it's working because people are concerned about their feelings. So another guy comes along and he wants to start a church over here across town in a beautiful neighborhood. Well, he's going to go that same route, or she, and the same way of setting it up the same way. And it'll be kind of a copy of that other church or this church or that, even though it might not be the same denomination. But they're all going to be into the feelings. And what God does then, he begins to deal with us on a spiritual level. And we need to be able to go to a church where we encounter God, and then we get revived by the power of God, because all that we're supposed to be is Jesus saying, come on, I want to make you a disciple, and I want you to make those changes, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where we are in our country. And so what's in my opinion, what's happening is now that the election is over, mm-hmm. and a lot of people, conservative, Christian conservative, let's just say it, are happy about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So now what's going to happen? You can feel the settle. Okay, well, guess we don't need to pray about for our country now. You know,
yeah.
I mean, everything's going great.
Uh-huh.
And so we may find that it just breezes through. But we also might find that history is being formed that a lot of other nations don't like what they see here.
Yes.
We might like it. I might like it. Mm-hmm. But other nations might not. Mm-hmm. Talking about all the tariffs and money and... When you get to money, changes. Love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah, and it sure reveals it.
Yeah, so if money is involved in it, you can expect evil to be there too.
Yes.
And so could God be preparing us and a nation, he's making us stronger, more unified, to protect us in the future? Because could go, but what has to happen is the church needs to fulfill its role. And so you and I have been talking about the lifting up of Moses' hands.
Yes.
During a battle.
During a battle.
You want to tell that story?
Well, the reason the enemies came against the Israelites, and Joshua was down below fighting and leading, and as long as Moses was able to lift his hands, representing prayer and the authority of the word, then they were winning. The Israelites were winning, but when he'd get tired and say, I could just go to, you know, 1 minute, they would start losing. The tide would immediately turn, and the nation of Israel would begin losing. And so then comes along Aaron and Hur, and they realized what was happening. So they would keep Moses' hands up.
Mm-hmm.
And he could hold them out towards, he could hold the authority, the word, the power, and the obedience to God towards them, the church, the Israelites, and they would win. And to me, that feels like we can't drop our hands.
Yeah, because
we can't.
We are hopefully winning on a different level in our country, but we still have other nations that would like to destroy us, or other nations that a nation would like to destroy them, and we need to help them, whatever. But with the election, I feel like now the church and Christians and conservatives, they're all ready to put their hands down and say, I'm glad that's over with. It's a breath of fresh air. Now we're going, you know. But the problem is with that, as the church lets its hands down, is we're giving the wrong diagnosis and we're giving the wrong cure. Here's what people think is going to make them feel better, all right? What's wrong? So I don't feel good about my life, or I'm a failure, or I've been divorced and I'm ashamed, and or I'm angry. The symptoms are endless, so I don't want to try to name all the symptoms. Mm-hmm. But we get to where, what is the cure then?
Yes.
Okay, the church gives the idea, I think, that what we, in order to make you feel better, let's just say that, is you need more of you.
Yeah.
See, you need more self-esteem. You need more self-love. You need more self-expression, right? And so we take that and go, well, I'm in a lousy marriage. Why? I don't get to express myself. He doesn't let me talk, or she doesn't let me talk. I need to air my feelings. I just want somebody to talk to air my feelings, but my husband, and then he comes home, he doesn't even pay attention to me. See, is there a problem? Probably. Is there a hurt? Yes. Are there some things that need to change? Yeah. But the cure is not more of you. The cure is less of you.
Yes.
In other words, self-esteem is a false sense, because you're evaluating your own self.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody comes up, I don't go up to you and say, boy, I really appreciate your self-esteem. It's very impressive.
Oh, my.
Very impressive.
No, it causes a lot of problems.
what do they really need? Really need is
your real esteem.
Yeah, you need to get into this, to become a spiritual person, to where I see the Spirit and I admire you for walking by the Spirit.
Right.
Because the self-esteem is that you have is, it's make-believe.
Yeah.
You have it, but that doesn't mean I see it. Or I
My
agree
word.
With it, right? Okay.
Don't make this too personal.
So what we need to do is we need to realize the danger of putting our hands down because the election or a new president or new policies, when that's not the church's business. The church's business is not political. It's spiritual. But so many pastors are walking in the political because they're reinforcing the politics of our country, which is okay. They get to support whatever they want.
Right.
It's just okay. But they're not doing their job. Let the politicians do their job. Support them. Pray for them, right? If the ones you like, okay? But the church is not to be political in that respect.
Right.
We can support them. The church is the place where we go to be spiritual. Because if I don't get spiritual, then I'm not going to get well. I'm not going to like myself no matter how much I try to have self-esteem, self-love. You can't give yourself a hug and feel better. Right?
No.
Nobody feels better after a self-hug, right?
No.
It's an imaginary world that the church is locked into, and and convince people that that's what they need. They need more of self to feel better about themselves. Jesus said just the opposite. He said, you lose yourself, then you're going to find yourself, and you lose it in him. So I think the church needs to be on the time of change. We need revivalists. We need spiritual people. We need history makers. We need courageous people that step up and say, this is not it. This is not it. This is not it.
Right.
And it is. The circle has to be the focus around Jesus, a God-centered church.
Yes.
And you know what?
Yeah.
This is going to sound a little harsh, but you might to some of you, but really, nobody really cares how you feel. That's fake, too. You know why? Because they only care how they feel. And they're getting into you to make you feel better about you because they feel better about themselves when they make you feel better. You know, so it's just a circle. Mm-hmm. It's just a trap. Yeah. So we need to get out of it, get our hands up. We need revival. We need revivalists. And I encourage people, if you don't know me, find the ministry, you know, stevegrayministries.com, which More Faith, More Life connects to.
Yes.
And send a note. I want revival. What am I doing? Because people then, they think they know what it is and they haven't seen it. And they think revival is people getting saved, getting baptized, and feeling better about themselves and trying to be a better person, right?
Yeah.
So I want to encourage you to get the book. If You Only Knew, you can get that. It's short. You can read it in an hour and a half or less. And you got to get it. It's for the clueless generation. And then we have the new book, Mighty Like Gideon. You can get it in the bookstores. But if you get it, go to stevegrayministries.com and get it, then you can get this great workbook. I think it's $1, and it's a great workbook. You can't get this anyplace else. So that's my speech. We need to keep our hands up because the political might be moving forward, but the spiritual is not. We're not done because the church is the place, only place on the face of the earth where you connect with God and you get spiritual things happening. So I'm keeping my hands up, and I hope they will too. And you contact us sometime if we can be of help. We have two major revivals are being written about that I got to lead, and I can help understand how it works. Well, that was fun. We got on the subject and off the subject. And
I even got a little teary-eyed, and I confessed.
Yeah, that you don't know how many states we
have. That's right.
Anyway, all right. Thanks for joining us. We hope that you get more faith, more life, and get your life turned around so you can be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Till next time, bye-bye.